Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report today. It is Friday, June 10th, 2022. I want to welcome everyone to today's program. We have a great program lined up for you. A lot of information to get into. Of course, last night, I don't know how many people watched the televised Isham January 6th hearings, but underwhelmed would be the statement of the day. Release the videos, all of them. And, but of course they won't do that. I do want to get into a couple of issues here. I think are extremely important. You know, every day when Eric and I come into the studio, we attempt to do a triage of things that, okay, you know, what will impact your life, my life, our lives more than anything else. We see these new waves of food price hikes that are here, but they're going to get worse. We're looking at gas prices hitting average perhaps $6 a gallon later this summer on a national average. You could be paying that now, but on a national average. We're looking at the objectives of the World Economic Forum. We're looking at the objectives of, for example, the overlords of those people who are seemingly in positions of power. We're seeing a lot of things taking place there. You're looking at, pick one thing, anything, and you can connect it to everything. And yesterday, I got a lot of good response from yesterday's program with Steve Quayle. If you didn't catch that, out of time, out of options, I think it pretty well summarizes where we're at right now. And I think that a lot of us have to make some decisions. Decisions in the physical, obviously. Decisions about what we are going to do, what we need to do. And really understand the lateness of the hour. And I think that that's pretty much that's where we're at right now. In triaging everything, I think that that says it all. We're seeing threats increase, personal threats. We're seeing violence increase. We're seeing police not being able to respond to crimes because, well, in some cases, budgetary concerns because of the high energy prices. But none of this is accidental. It's all by design. And it's by design by the very people in power to take this country down. So who are these people? Let's talk some direct, I mean, let's get into this. If we go to Eric the Tech, by the way, it's Friday. How you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah. And just like any other day and working the weekend too, right? So, but nonetheless, I want to get into the in the show prep material, folks. You can go to HagmanReport.com and you can find this. In the first link is to a page, and the page is for uncoverdc.com. And of course, you know, Tracy Beans and others associated with this, but there was an article in here, and I don't know how many people caught this. Secretive Bilderberg Group meets in DC. Now, this was published earlier this week, but it warrants some inspection because these are the people. These are the things being discussed. These are the people discussing the things that are being discussed that we need to pay attention to. As the article states, the secretive Bilderberg Group is back to meeting for the 68th time after a two-year hiatus due to the pandemic. And the meeting took place this year from June 2nd to the 5th at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in Washington, D.C. Now, the agenda is listed here. The key topics for discussion, as you can see on your screen, geopolitical realignments. Okay. NATO challenges, China, Indo-Pacific realignment, Sino-US tech competition, Russia, continuity of government and the economy. Look at number 8 now. Disruption of the global financial system. What does that mean? I mean, I know what it says, but wait a minute. Disruption of the global financial system. What does that mean? And of course, number 9, disinformation. Going to be getting into that just momentarily. Energy security and sustainability, post-pandemic health. Fragmentation of democratic societies. These are all topics discussed. And it's almost like, instead of the topic list, a to-do list. That's my interpretation of this. Now, written in this article, they state that during this meeting, reporting journalists are unable to attend and participants are supposedly sworn to secrecy. And of course, they justify the secrecy by simply stating that this is a way to allow members to speak their minds without outside scrutiny. Again, understand who these people are, what this group means. This is, no one elected these morons to be some sort of planner of your future, of my future. But they've got that power. And of course, the article does go into the history of this group. The first conference took place on May 29th, lasted through May 31st, 1954 in the Netherlands. And the it notes here, everything's by private subscription and it's private. The hospitality costs are covered by steering committee members and such. It kind of gets into the mechanics of it a little bit. But who attended this year's meeting? The author writes that the meeting hosted 120 participants from 21 countries. World leaders, business titans, investment bankers, non-reporting media outlets. Okay, wait. Non-reporting media outlets. Isn't that kind of a, what does that even mean? Non-reporting media outlets. So your job is to, if you're in the media, your job is to report, but non-reporting media, okay. Yeah, whatever. Energy companies. Oh, big surprise there, right? University professors, tech giants, heads of the CIA and NSC. Gee, again, big surprise there. Pharmaceutical companies, foreign policy workers, wonks. Now, notable attendees included, you ready? Here we go. Henry Kissinger, 99 years old. He doesn't look a day over 90. I'm telling you. Flippin' Henry Kissinger. Remember Nixon? Kneel down with me, Henry. Kneel down with me, Henry. Say a prayer. I'm invoking the Watergate scenario. You remember that? People my age will, right? Arizona Senator Kristen Sinema. Oh, Peter Thiel of Thiel Capital LLC and James Baker, the director of the Office of Net Assessment for the Department of Defense. Of course, let's have DOD in there too. And you got people from the UK and, of course, CISA Director Jen Easterly and CIA Director William J. Burns. It's always good to have a CIA director in there. That's right. Eric Schmidt, the former CEO and chairman of Google. All right, so Why is this? Why am I even bringing this up? Okay. Look, you want to know who's fashioning, who's molding your future? These Muppets. It's these morons. And again, this is my personal opinion. Unelected people that are making your life hell and my life hell. Gee, it would have been a shame. Well, I'll stop there. And then when you kind of pair that up with the World Economic Forum, we talk a lot about the World Economic Forum and some of these people pushing to AI, pushing AI and pushing to different things. Folks, I want to just warn you on something. The World Economic Forum is pushing digital identification. It's really, in fact, they recently rolled out the Global Coalition for Digital Safety. Doesn't that give you the warm fuzzies? It's an initiative designed to accelerate public-private cooperation to tackle harmful content online. Now, hold that thought, because of what I just say. I'm going to repeat that because it's so important. Ready? The WEF recently rolled out the Global Coalition for Digital Safety, an initiative designed to accelerate public-private cooperation. Okay, I get that. Public-private. That's kind of like a fascistic thing, right? Fascism? But okay. To tackle harmful content online. Now, wait a second. Where did I hear this before? Eric the Tech, where did we hear this before? I think it was Scary Poppins. But that whole thing went away, right? No. As I mentioned before, and this is important because all of this kind of ties together. We talked about this yesterday with Steve Quayle. There's going to be a massive die-off. There's going to be a massive culling of the human population. And by human population, I'm talking about the people with intact God-given DNA. Okay, just to be clear. But hold on a second. It's talking about the online, harmful online content, because my goodness, we cannot allow misinformation. I don't know how many people caught this. From the very minute the DHS Disinformation Governance Board, otherwise known as the Ministry of Truth, Scary Poppins, was discovered at that time, it was patently obvious that that agency was created in order for the DHS to partner with social media platforms to control, to monitor, and track speech of American citizens. To track speech of American, whether it's online, a letter to the editor, a letter to your school board, a letter to your county city council, or just speech in general. Now, DHS, they came out and said, that's not true. However, and again, I don't know how many people saw this Wednesday night, this past Wednesday. It's hard to believe, 2 nights ago. Senator Josh Hawley appeared on Tucker Carlson. I'm not going to play the clip at all. But Hawley appeared on Tucker Carlson. And guess what? Brought with him the receipts, the memo, a memo that proves that DHS, the Disinformation Governance Board, and social media platforms, that Governance Board was created specifically to control social media platforms' speech, discussion, and debate. An April 28th, 2022 memo, which he showed, provided the following. You will meet in person. Now this is a memo from DHS, from this governance board, or Twitter, to Twitter, between Twitter and this governance board. But it's from DHS to Twitter. It's internal instructions. Let me be clear. You will meet in person with Twitter executives, Nick Pickles. Bet you he had a good time growing up in school, right? Pickle. Got to drain the pickle. Okay. Nick Pickles, head of policy, and Yoel Roth, head of site integrity for so many minutes on public-private partnerships and so on. Okay. And some of this stuff is redacted, but the key objectives here, this is the important thing. This meeting is an opportunity to discuss operationalizing public-private partnerships between DHS and Twitter, as well as inform Twitter executives about DHS work on MDM, including the creation of Disinformation Governance Board and its analytic exchange and the department's ongoing DVE work. What this is saying is we are going to police, control, and even mold the discussion on social media. So if you're plugged into that, understand what's happening here. It really lays out the intent. Okay. But if, and here's the thing, because this is attached to this digital, this global coalition for digital safety by the WEF. Do you see, we have the Bilderberg group here in this country. Well, actually it's a global initiative. We have the WEF. You've got now internally the DHS, and the entirety of DHS. And then you've got the states and the feds pushing for a digital ID. It's to control your thoughts, your speech, and to have you self-censor your thoughts and your speech, of course, and to control the flow of information, accurate or not. And the WEF, during its latest meeting, they brought together a bunch of people, and you saw that, and we've gone over that, these diverse leaders, mainly of head honchos like, people from Google and Microsoft and Interpol and the CIA and other intelligence agencies worldwide. These are the people who are directing this initiative, these initiatives, again, pushing for digital IDs so they can track you, they can identify you, and they can reprimand you should you be spreading disinformation. All right. Now, what am I getting to? Let's go to this video. Among all of the things, okay, so you had last night the sham hearing display, that piss poor display on the networks about the January 6th committee. You've got the so many things taking place. You've got inflation running rampant, but the White House saying, "Hey, these are historic monetary times, fiscal times." Oh my goodness, things have never been better. You know. They're gaslighting you. They're gaslighting all of us. But they're not fooling anyone. Well, you know what? They are. I shouldn't say that. They are. They're fooling the morons out there. I just had a flash through my mind of some people I've spoken to in recent memory. I'm thinking, man, those people. Yeah, they're fooling them. Okay. So you've got food plants, food distribution plants burning. Go to Twitter and for example, and watch how you will have bots and people who are mind blown say, oh, they've always happened. These fires always happen. And it's just, you know, nothing to see here. You have energy, natural gas plants catching fire. Well, that always happens because, you know, it's flammable stuff. Yeah, okay. But at key sections, at key moments, at key times, you have supply chain issues. You've got all of these things that we always talk about. Again, I go back to the article from Uncovered DC. That's a to-do list. That's not an agenda. Now they're pushing for digital identification so they can control you. The mass rollout of digital IDs poses one of the gravest risks to human rights of any technology that's ever been encountered and we will ever encounter. And really, when you look at this and you look at the different countries involved, one of the leaders in this panopticon of surveillance and molding public opinion and suppressing speech and public opinion at the expense, at your expense, is, of course, Canada, but I digress. It's a country with close ties to the WEF. They're actively considering the full-time and full-blown use of digital identification, digital IDs. And according to the Canada Gazette, the country's prime minister, Castro Jr., Justin Trudeau Castro Jr., spoke with airlines about introducing digital ID documents and biometric travel documents. This is where we're headed. But they've got to, this is where they're headed. And there's a reason for this too. They can't have us talking about, for example, all of the things that are taking place. They can't have us talking about, well, gee, one of Clinton's closest aides who introduced Epstein to Clinton was found hanging from a tree by an extension cord with a shotgun blast to his chest. They don't want us talking about that. And they certainly don't want us talking about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial and the fact that, hey, Johnny Depp can be televised, but not Ghislaine Maxwell. Where's her book? They can't have us talking like this, and they can't have us talking about the elections of 2020. So they've got to shut us up, shut us down, and ultimately kill us. But then again, we can't say that we're getting killed because it's not true, right? It's not true. Well, let's take a look because, again, one of the hinge moments in history was what? There have been several in very recent time. I mean, you're talking about hinge moments in history, like, for example, Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. Everyone knows that date. Another hinge moment in history, 9/11, 2001. All right? You know, these are like moments in history that will change everything. Now it seems like every other week there's a hinge moment that takes place, right? From the 2020 elections to the plandemic to the rollout of the injecticide and so on. But let's stop momentarily at the rollout of the injecticide because, and I mentioned this, I referenced this yesterday on yesterday's show, 55,000 documents wanted that were supposedly to be held by court order from the FDA, by the FDA and Pfizer, were released. And Naomi Wolf, working with Steve Bannon and his platform, got together 3,000 experts, doctors, medical doctors, biostatisticians, attorneys, and such, and they went through these documents. Here's an update. Now, you heard, perhaps you did. I think we might have played it, the clip initially, maybe earlier this week. I'm not sure if we had the chance to. It was in the program notes of one of the days earlier this week. But here's an update from, I believe it was yesterday. It might have been the day before, or it could have been yesterday. about the findings about this injecticide and about what it's going to and what it's doing. And the reason, again, this is important is because none of this is to be talked about. None of this. And they're using things like the digital ID to prevent that, or to identify you and to prevent you from talking about things like this, or they will in the future. Let's go ahead and play video number one in the program description notes at HagmanReport.com. You can watch the clip in its entirety, but this is Dr. Naomi Wolf. Here it is.
Naomi, a perfect segue to you, since you were the first one to kind of warn us about the hill to die on was about these digital passports. More breaking news. One thing I don't understand, how can, is the Moderna's, they're still going to like give a third shot or third booster to babies? What is going on here? I thought we shut this down.
Well, we haven't shut it down yet. I checked with our lawyer, or our lawyer's sort of commando, who's Leslie Manoukian, who's overseeing the efforts of Scott Street and John Howard, these very distinguished lawyers, to sue Pfizer for the harms that the volunteers have found in these documents. And I asked her, you know, how could they be going ahead? And she said basically that the regulatory agencies are completely captured, and that it's, as a result, it's easier to sue a private corporation like Pfizer than to stop the FDA, that the FDA has kind of many rings of deterrence protecting it from lawsuits and protecting it even from criminal charges. But we're moving ahead with both a lawsuit against Pfizer and a lawsuit against the FDA. And there's, but they're acting with impunity. I agree with you. And she also said that there's a push to get all of these launched under the emergency use authorization, because that gives these vaccines or these interventions impunity from lawsuits under the PREP Act, P-R-E-P. So it's a rush basically to roll out, you know, one horrible intervention after another in order to basically be shielded from liability, which is sick. You know, it's absolutely sick. And it's one thing if they just like tucked these new damaging interventions under FDA's aegis and, you know, hid behind the PREP Act, and they could just leave it there. But they're not just doing that. They're also rolling out these, you know, gigantic propaganda campaigns and buying up influencers and buying up the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the AMA and other professional licensing organizations to get them to lie to people and pressure them and badger them, including pregnant women, to get these injections, or parents to give these injections to their minor children. It's absolutely disgusting.
Where do we stand? I know the lawsuit that you got going, but the when can we get you on and go through and take like a half hour, maybe an hour, maybe do a special, and just go through where you stand with the, I think it's 15 reports that the War Room volunteers and your team that pulled everything together and the lawyers, I think it's 15 or 17 reports off the Pfizer documents right now?
It's 23 reports now. They are literally on fire. It's 23 absolutely perfectly cited, impeccably sourced reports that you can read on dailycloud.io. Don't take my word for what's in them. There's a new report by Team 5, and I would really, if you have time, love to read just two brief paragraphs from them, because they've gone deeper into what's happening to babies, and it's literally up to kind of us and the posse and the larger community.
Now, pay attention to this.
Word of mouth, because it's an emergency, and legacy media are paying no attention. So this is a report by Maria Zeminski and Linnea Wall of Team 5, Risks to Babies of Vaccinated Mothers, is reported in theirs. And their finding is that your baby is more likely to die at or before birth if you received a COVID-19 vaccine than if you received any other vaccine. So two quick paragraphs. According to VAERS, which is the government database for adverse events, between 1998, the earliest VAERS reporting date, in May of this year, the total number of pregnant women who were vaccinated for all diseases and then lost their babies was 6,695. These babies died in spontaneous abortions and fetal disorders such as cardiac arrest and cystic hygroma, a tumor that forms on the newborn's neck. But just in the past couple of years, meaning just since pregnant women were vaccinated with mRNA vaccines, 3,816 babies died after their mothers received a COVID-19 vaccine manufactured by Moderna, Pfizer, BioNTech, or Janssen. And they show you the table. These women were vaccinated between December 2020 and March 2022. That means that 57% of all the vaccinations that resulted in a baby or fetus dying in the last 25 years or so took place when pregnant women started receiving COVID-19 vaccines.
Okay, can you pause that
also
just for a second?
According to the AAO-
Okay, keep that up there. And folks, I want you to think about this because nothing happens in a vacuum. What about the release of that preliminary draft about Roe v. Wade and the reaction to that, the focus, the target, are the children, right? Now, am I correct? What's the target here? The children. Just think. Again, nothing happens in a vacuum. Go ahead and continue.
We know that very soon, within the first 10 days after these mothers were vaccinated against COVID-19, 1,559 of their babies or fetuses died. The remaining 2,257 babies died from day 10 on. Of the pregnant women who had spontaneous abortions or their babies died of other fetal disorders, I know you say no tears, but this is making me cry. 20% lost their babies on the same day the mothers were vaccinated. And 21% lost their babies in the following 9 days. And she gives a table. Could it be a coincidence that a COVID-19 vaccinated woman loses her baby and 41% of the time the baby dies within 10 days of the mother's vaccination?
But pause that for a second, if you don't mind, and just keep that on there. Because I have a message to the doctors out there, to the pediatricians, to the OBGYN doctors who push this on pregnant women. Damn you to hell. You're either ignorant, in which case you shouldn't be a doctor, or you're evil and complicit. But as far as I'm concerned, I hope they should burn in hell for what you are doing to the unborn. You might as well have a scalpel or a pair of forceps and kill the unborn, but damn you to hell. Go ahead.
Naomi, you've got the book, The Bodies of Others. I want everybody to buy this. You're doing God's work to expose this. This is how we're going to get to, how we get solutions. And it's horrible that it happened, but you hang in there. The Body of Others. Give your social media how to get to the Daily Clout, man. We got about 30
Thank
seconds.
You. Sorry to have been overcome with emotion. No. I know we need to stay strong.
All right, folks, buy the book, The Bodies of Others. You can, and the rest of the link or the rest of the clip is on there. But I'm going to tell you something, okay? They don't want us talking about this. They don't want us talking about anything that's going on. They don't want us to, you know what? There's no inflation. There's no shrinkflation. In fact, the economy's never been better. I'm telling you, if you think otherwise, we have to have digital IDs in order to shut you up, and we're going to shut you up. And if we can't shut you up we're going to do that. And who are these maggots that are behind this? These unelected maggots, and in some cases elected, but unelected to the positions at these various NGOs and these various groups like, you know, the Committee of 300 and the Bilderberg Group and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, all of you should, as far, in my opinion, should burn in hell. That's, again, my opinion, which, by the way, I'm still allowed based on the Constitution. Until, of course, the feds bust the studio door in. Look, we are engaged in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of the American people. Paul McGuire talks about that. We are right now fighting a battle that is spiritual. And you know something? You either get it or you don't. And if you don't, I can't help you. I mean, I'll try. But you're either deliberately obtuse or you're a moron. And for those listening and watching this show, I don't think you're a moron. You're far from it. And I'm sure you're with me on this, right? Because you start messing with the kids, just like that cluster in Texas. I gotta find that clip of that mom that went in there and grabbed her two kids. I gotta find that clip. She was handcuffed by the police and somehow talked her way out of the handcuffs, bolted past the cops, went in. Not a cop in the building. The purpose shooting. She ended up grabbing both of her children. Let out two classes too. Saved two classes. Grabbed both of her children and ran back out. Well, the cops are going, hey. She should get a medal of some kind and be this. In fact, she should head up the police department. I don't care if she doesn't have any experience or not. But see, in my opinion, they want us all dead. You got these, again, these maggots. And that's the only term I can think of. Because, I've been to crime scenes. I've seen. It brings to mind, you know, you see a body that's decomposing. You see maggots. You see flies. And that, to me, that's the epitome of what we're dealing with here, these people. I can't think of a better term than that. And I'll tell you this. We have to fight. We have to fight. We have to be, but we do so righteously. I could go on. I want to mention real quick, I'm looking over to my left here. I want to mention real quick, folks, if you haven't done so already, please support Wisconsin Christian News. I have a new column coming out this edition. You could subscribe, but also support them. They're in dire need of help with their expenses. The printing costs are through the roof, and they have a good product at WisconsinChristianNews.com. Please help them out. Speaking of truth and speaking about help and speaking about things that we need to do, we need to take care of ourselves. You know, you and me. And right now, I got news earlier today that a very good friend of the family is very, very ill and kind of knocked me off my game today. And we sent over some supplements from healthmasters.com. And some other things. And we need to take care of ourselves. Guys, listen to me. You need to take care of your wives. And wives, listen to me. Father's Day is coming up. I can't think of a better gift than a gift of health, of nutritional supplementation from Health Masters. I want you to go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And give the guy that's important to you, the father that's important to you. Oh, I don't know. Maybe ultimate multiple prostate support, maybe, depending on what his needs might be. Magnesium brain food. Come in capsules right now. My favorite. One of my favorites. And of course, the immune system support kit. Folks, these are the best supplements on the planet, in my view. I've seen these things. I've seen these supplements work wonders. That's not a medical claim. That's my observation. Healthmasters.com, coupon code HR5. And one of the people behind Healthmasters is a young man. I kind of would like to be his age again, knowing what I know now. But the neat thing is, he knows what I know now, and he's his age. Did you follow me on that? That's a good place to be. And with that, I want to bring on Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. How you doing, Austin?
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on the show, and I appreciate that compliment. I wish I knew as much as you do, but I'm getting there. Trying to get at it.
Well, I'll tell you what, and folks, let me tell you something. I don't know. When you talk to Austin off air, he's the same off air as he is on air, and he's got like a world of knowledge, and he understands at his age, which is, he understands things in a way that a lot of people my age don't. And he's got more wisdom than a lot of people my age don't. So I really appreciate that. Plus, he's got the fire in his belly, and I like that, because if you don't have the fire in your belly, then you're no good to anybody. And plus, Disney hates him, so I like him. And there's that. And he's a Mossberg guy. So, you know, there you go. All right. So, Austin, where do you want to start?
Well, you know, I was listening to when you were talking earlier, and I have a hard time believing the fact that all of those cops in Uvalde, that they were all just straight up pansies and did not want to go in. The more I've researched that shooting, the stranger the things have come about. And the more it appears to me is there was a direct stand down, exactly like we saw at the Parkland shooting. I've gotten confirmation now of that repeatedly. I don't think any cops were even supposed to go in there to see what was going on. That's why the only guys, from my knowledge, that first went in there were the off-duty Border Patrol agents. They were the actual ones that went in and shot the alleged perpetrator, whoever the alleged perpetrator was in the building. I don't know. I can't get a straight story from anybody on this thing. But again, it shows you that this entire aspect, this entire theater in Congress, which, you know, they basically passed yesterday, this gun bill, which I think the Senate's going to shut it down, which I hope they do, because it's so far outlandish with the restrictions on how you store weapons and how they're going to enforce that to a magazine ban, all these different things. It's funny because Congress constantly talks out of both sides of their mouth. First, they're literally a couple weeks ago, they're talking about how Roe versus Wade is completely and totally unacceptable to be overturned. You got Pelosi talking about it's a woman's right to essentially abort her child all the way to full term. And then literally just a couple weeks later now, you switch gears, and they're talking about how these children don't deserve this, and these children deserve to be protected, and none of this should be okay, and we can't be allowing our children to be murdered. Now, I agree with the fact of it's not okay for our children to be killed, but I also agree with the fact that it's not okay to butcher them and murder them in the womb or post-birth either. This concept that you kind of get to pick and choose at what point in time a young child or young infant gets butchered and murdered is disgusting to me, Doug. There's no consistency in anything they say. And as it talks about basically in the Bible, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. That's what these guys do. They talk out one side, they contradict it with the other side. This shows you exactly why nobody needs to listen to anything they have to say. And this is why I've continued to encourage everybody, contact your senators and tell them to absolutely block this entire sadistic gun bill that they're trying to push forward. Nothing about it makes any sense, because nothing about it would even stop any of the shootings. Everything we continue to see now is complete and total theater. If we actually want to stop gun running and we want to stop illegals from getting, you know, weapons, how about we put a muzzle on the ATF and stop allowing them to send machine guns and 50 caliber weapons to the Mexican drug cartel and to basically all kinds of other countries and through the CIA. And well, how about we stop sending $40 billion in surface air missiles to the Ukraine, which, by the way, Europol has blatantly said, the director of Europol, I talked about it last week, has blatantly said, we don't know where these weapons are going to go once this war is over. We're sending such a cache of armament to Ukraine. These weapons are going to be used for wars for the next decade over in basically Europe now. So again, they talk out of both sides of their mouth in Congress, which is why I have no respect for anything they're trying to say. And you said one thing a second ago, you know, about how everybody has a right. You've got your own right to your own opinion. This is part of the First Amendment. And this is what we're starting to see now more and more and more with the Ministry of Truth that Homeland Security was trying to put together. The aspect of telling people, if you don't openly come out and support my perverted cross-dressing agenda, then you basically are a neo-Nazi, homophobe, skinhead racist. You know, that's not an accurate terminology on me at all, but okay. And now we see these five baseball players for the Tampa Bay Rays, which is right down the road from me, 45 minutes from me, been to their baseball games before, AC Baseball Stadium, really cool place to go if you've ever wanted to watch professional baseball. And five of the players pulled the gay patches off their uniforms and pulled the gay hats off and put on the regular Tampa Bay Rays hats and said, we don't go along with this. If somebody wants to be homosexual, they can go engage in that behavior. That has nothing to do with us, but we're Christians and we basically are not going to openly support something that we don't agree with. And now they've been absolutely eviscerated in the mainstream media. We're obviously, we knew that was going to happen because the mainstream media is completely controlled by the banking cartel that essentially wants to push this agenda. And it was interesting. I was watching an excerpt clip from ESPN and they had this one hardcore leftist liberal dyke on there. And she basically was going on and on and on about how these guys are bigots because they don't want to wear this patch. And one thing that really, it really got my ears perked because it really showed me where these people are coming from. And this is a quote from what she said. And I quote, "This is not just about baseball. That religious exemption BS, which is used in the sport, is nonsense. We have to stop tiptoeing around it because we're trying to protect people who are bigoted. They're trying to use religious exemptions to affect the opportunities, services, and available resources for people who are LGBT, QRS, TUZ, WXYZ, whatever letters they keep adding to it. I'm sure P is going to get added to it pretty soon." And I thought about it. I listened to what she said again. And the religious exemption BS. And I thought to myself, how different would this response have been if the Tampa Bay Rays were playing an Easter Sunday special and they gave all the players Easter Sunday crucifix passage with, you know, basically have a blessed resurrection Sunday and they were wearing them. And one of the Muslim players said, I'm not Christian. I'm not going to wear this on my uniform. I would have said, that's absolutely his right. You can't force the man to wear something he doesn't believe in. Do I believe and do I agree with the Muslim religion? Absolutely not. I'm opposed to it. But the man also has his right to say, I don't agree with you. I'm a Muslim. I'm not going to wear this patch. I wouldn't come up and pitch a fit about it. So that's his choice.
Okay. If you don't mind stopping right there, because you make a great point. And I 100% agree with you on that. I think this is where we're at today.
Yeah.
And so my problem now, and this is something I've been wrestling with every single day. At what point, because we're now at a point where that woman is saying this religious exemption BS, okay, that dogma, that ideology has been so ingrained in a subsection of people in the United States versus the Christian, what the View calls the Christian theocracy, which don't get me started there, but there's two opposing viewpoints here. We're not going to come to any agreement anytime soon. So what happens now? Do we fight? I mean, I'm asking, do we fight? Because what's left? And if we fight, what does that even look like? Do we take arms to one another? I mean, so you're exactly right. I think we've come to this moment where we've got to make a decision of how we're going to handle this. Kudos to those players who took the patches off. And we have to do that at minimum. But how far are we willing to take this? Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. And I commended them on air by name the other day on the show and gave them basically an applause. Because, you know, if somebody doesn't stand up for what they believe, well, what are they? So because you believe something and I don't support what you believe, now I'm basically a bigoted homophobe. I don't care what you want to do in the privacy of your own home. You want to go be involved with other men? That's your choice. That's disgusting. I don't agree with it, but I really don't care. It's not my problem. Just like if a Muslim doesn't want to wear a crucifix, I'm not going to force the man to wear a crucifix if he's a Muslim. I don't care. It's not my problem. But the issue that we've run into now is exactly what you just pointed, Doug. There's no level of compromising that is ever enough for this group. It's always rules for thee, but not for me. They want to tell everybody, you have to accept what I want. You have to accept what I tell you. You have to embrace it and hold it and hug it and kiss it. But I do not, under any circumstances, have to agree or embrace or listen or understand anything on your viewpoint. I simply can just call you unbelievably horrific names as soon as you don't listen to what I tell you to do. That's not a republic. This is where it's starting to come about, and you made a valid point, because we're reaching this point where we're almost starting to go back to this old-fashioned duel, which, quite frankly, I'm not diametrically opposed to those sometimes.
Nor am I.
You know, it's not lethal, you know, possibly maybe, you know, a good old fashioned boxing match. And, you know, back in the day, I remember when I was a kid, a lot of times you got a problem with somebody. Okay, man, duke it out. Nobody got involved with it. Everybody just watched it. Okay, man, knock it out. First one that gets knocked out or taps out wins. Okay, done. But we've reached this point in society now to where we have this segmented group that really thinks that they are almost this hierarchy among the citizens, among the population, that the only thing that is true is what they believe, and that nobody else can have a differing opinion. And if they do, they simply have to be ostracized and demonized now on social media and television. That's why I've grown such a hard, non-tolerant stance with these individuals. Because back in the day, I used to kind of have that kind of, okay, flippant attitude where I was like, oh, they want to have gay marriage. They want to go do this. They want to have it on TV. You know what? Like, whatever. I really don't care. And currently still, I really don't care about somebody's lifestyle. It's not my problem. But what I've realized now is that the more tolerant we become and the more essentially we just kind of allowed it to occur, the further emboldened these individuals have become. Now, to now, we literally have people on ESPN and national television calling Christian athletes bigoted homophobes because they simply don't want to wear a gay pride jersey on a ball game. If that was a couple years ago, people would say, this is lunacy. Why in the world is this even a topic of conversation? And like I said earlier, what would the conversation have been if this would have been, you know, Resurrection Sunday? And they had, you know, Christian jerseys, and a Muslim decided he didn't want to wear it. Would this conversation even have been brought up? Absolutely not. And never even would have made mainstream media. Nobody would have talked about it. It would have been completely verboten. They never even said anything in a negative light because it didn't fit the narrative that they're wanting to go. And this is kind of the point exactly what you brought up a second ago. How far do Christians continue to compromise their values and beliefs and allow this stuff to further go down the line? This is why I've been so strict about allowing this stuff to enter my house or my children to be exposed to it now, because it's getting worse and worse and worse. I saw an article now. It was over here from DeSantis, and he made a comment now, this is on Breitbart today or yesterday, about the incident that happened in Texas with this massive strip club drag queen story hour and these parents being troves of 8 and 9 and 10, 11-year-old kids with a big neon sign in the background says, it's not going to lick itself, and having the children dance with these perverted pedophiles putting money in their waistband. And he discussed, he had a conference on it yesterday, and he said they're strongly looking at the statutes that are already on the books and making it basically a criminal felony if you bring minors to these events. And I talked about it in detail the other day. I said, if you had a grown man and he wanted to take a bunch of kids to a strip club in Las Vegas or a strip club in Tampa, and all of a sudden you got a 30-40-year-old grown man, and he comes in with a bunch of 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids in the strip club. He goes, hey, my kids want to come to the strip club. They want to hang out and see a bunch of naked girls. First off, the bouncers are going to go, dude, what the heck is your problem, man? Get these kids out of here. This is not appropriate for them. This is not the place. What do you do? A, this is illegal. You got to be 18 or 21 to get in an avenue, a venue like this. Secondly, what is wrong with you? Why would you want to bring kids to this?
You're being intolerant. It's okay in public schools, though. It's okay. But see, I got a pad here. Okay, so let me just say this. If my grandchildren were subjected to that, I would write down my confession to make it easier for the cops, okay, to come and get me, because I'm coming after you, and you're going to die, okay? That's me. So I'm just telling you right now. But you're right. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with the parents? What in the hell is wrong with the teacher? What is wrong? I mean, look, accommodating evil is acquiescing to it and, in fact, enforcing it, and it's got to stop. Go ahead. I just had to say that because nothing irritates me more than using children as these virtue signaling props. Go ahead.
Oh, and they're doing it more than ever, any more than they ever have. And there's a reason why, Doug, it's always been coined the phrase adult entertainment. Okay? It's not child teenager entertainment. It is adult entertainment for adults to go. And if they want to enjoy that venue because that's what they're involved in, that's what they go do. I don't agree with it, but it's there. You can't legislate morality for adults. They want to be involved in something like that. That's their choice. But dragging these children, I was a psychology major. I graduated. My major was in psychology. I understood child psychology and marriage and family and abnormal psychology. When you start taking 7, 8, 9, 10, 12-year-old kids to this absolute perversion of a venue, and you're having these children having these perverted pedophiles grabbing these children's hands and strutting them across the stage and dancing with them and having the kids throw ones on them, these children are going to be negatively affected the rest of their life from a psychological standpoint. They are not going to fully understand what they just witnessed. And they're going to have confusions, they're going to have questions, and they're going to have a lot of different unanswered questions that they don't quite understand. And more than likely, it's going to lead them into different weird lifestyles because they're not going to know really how to handle what they were just exposed to. This is reckless child endangerment. 100% bringing children to a male perverted pedophile strip club where dudes dress up as women and dance and strip and calling that normal and okay is perversion and it's child endangerment. DeSantis, his quote, this is what he said yesterday. He said, we have child protective statutes on the books and we have laws against child endangerment and we're looking into this. He said, you had this event in Dallas, Texas. We had very young children, 8, 9, 10 years old at a quote drag show where they're putting money in the underwear of men. This is totally inappropriate, not something any children should be exposed to. He said there's also very graphic language in the video. People got a lot of video and a lot of stuff from it that was very disturbing. Now it just seems like there's a concerted effort to be exposing kids more and more to things that are not age appropriate. When did this become okay? And he is exactly right. This isn't going to be normal to me. And the fact that this occurred in Texas, which is usually an ultimately conservative state for the most part, should be appalling to a lot of the people there. And I, quite frankly, I think a lot of these parents need to be investigated for what else they may be subjecting their children to. Because quite frankly, there's a lot of great parents out there. There's a lot of great grandparents out there. There's also a lot of complete and total piece of crap parents out there. I've seen some of them. I've known some of them. There's some parents that do not deserve to be parents. And if you really, truly had parents that are thinking this is normal and this is okay, not only that, the establishment needs to be absolutely fined for allowing minors into an adult establishment. This needs to be addressed at the base level. Because if this continues to go on, we are going to have one of the most perverse, corrupt, confused generations we've ever witnessed on this planet. We will be talking about Sodom and Gomorrah 2.0 again, where every man, young and old, descended upon Lot's house and demanded that he bring the angels out because they basically wanted to screw them. That's what happened. That's how perverted it got in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's exactly what they're trying to normalize. These are grown men dressed up as women trying to get children to hand them money and put it in their underwear. You can't get much more perverted than this, Doug. Where is the parents that are calling this out? Where are the people that are saying this is not okay? Where are the people that are in the government agencies that are there to actually enforce certain laws like this to protect children and make sure establishments can't groom these children and bring them into pedophile rings? Where are they? They've been dead silent. All they want to talk about is January 6th. There were people at the Capitol that protested, and we need to make sure we spend years, and we got to have a mini documentary, and Hollywood needs to pick it up and start a movie on it, and we need to do a Netflix special on it, and we need to talk about how bad, bad, bad it was that somebody came to the Capitol and protested that the election was stolen. That's the only thing we need to talk about. Why don't we start talking about what in the world's going on with the fuel and the speculators? We don't have a shortage of fuel right now. Why in the world do we have the speculators that are basically manipulating the futures on all the oil right now? This exact same thing happened in the early 2000s. I remember watching it.
Yep.
Why in the world don't we have basically the futures coming in and the CFTC coming in and mandating that we have to have 50 or 100% margin requirements on these bets to enforce the laws that they have? Why in the world are there only 10% right now margin requirements? The price would collapse on oil immediately without this manipulation. Why in the world doesn't that get talked about? Or talking about why in the world the food prices are going up so high due to the fuel and how they can combat that? No, 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 no. We got to talk about the protest on January 6th, and we have to talk about right now why in the world you need to be disarmed, because we don't trust you to own a firearm. That is what they said the other day in the congressional hearings.
Yes.
That ordinary citizens don't need these weapons. Translation? We don't trust law-abiding citizens to be able to have weapons that they can defend themselves with, so we need to disarm them, because what we're about to do to them next, they're going to shoot us for, and they can't have guns for that. That's the translation they just said in Congress right now. That's what they tried to pass in that bill, and that is why they're pushing so hard on every news outlet, trying to basically pull at the heartstrings of people. You have to give up your guns. I mean, Matthew McConaughey the other day at the White House press conference podium. What the hell was that about? We're bringing movie stars in like they are some bastion of truth. Like there's some educated individuals on this type of topic. He's been in 15 movies where he's handled firearms, but he's going to get up to America and lecture us why no law-abiding citizens should have any type of service weapons or any type of sporting rifles, because we need to give it up for the safety of everybody. What kind of clown show are we living in, Doug? Or is it just me? I feel like I'm watching a movie right now. It's really...
Yeah, it's not just you. I want to address something you said before the gun issue, because I want to spend some time on the gun issue. But it's interesting what you said about the energy, the gas prices, because back in, what was it, January of 2007, oil was at $83 in a barrel, and started to climb until right around July of 2008. When it got to $185 a barrel. Now think about this, okay? At that time, during that same time, in January, I mentioned $83, gas was $2.29, it went up, dropped a little, went up to its highest price of $4.11. That was in July of 2008, okay? Now, gas is over, national average is over $5 a gallon, but oil is at $120 a barrel. That doesn't make any sense, except in the way that you explained it. And I thank you for doing that, because that's really an important issue. But it's all by design. It's to push as well. It's to push these electric vehicles and to push the people from... it's to punish the middle class and push the electric vehicles. Go ahead, sir.
Well, that's exactly what happened. You've got the future traders that are manipulating the heck out of the market, because what's happened now, you have BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, all these different big, giant, massive equity firms like BlackRock, their $10 trillion asset sheet. They're going in now and they're massively pushing up the futures, and they're going super long with doing longs on it. And they're going in, they're manipulating the entire market, and they don't have to put down hardly any collateral for these bets, like 10% margin. That's it. And this is exactly what happened before. And they put a squash on it. This is exactly what they're doing now. On top of that as well, we've got a massive amount of additional taxes that have been added onto the fuel. This has been going on and on and on as it increases very slowly over the years. The entire fuel aspect is 100% orchestrated to price people out of ICE vehicles, internal combustion engine vehicles. I saw one of the congressional stinking Democrat communist piece of garbage representatives the other day, and she made a comment about how she drove all the way to the California Capitol basically to speak, and that she drove her electric car and said it made her feel good because she drove past the gas stations and she didn't care how expensive the gas got because she drove an electric car. And I thought to myself, you stinky pile of garbage, you. First off, A, vast majority of people can't just go out and go buy a $50,000, $60,000 EV vehicle right now. Secondly, they're completely and totally useless pieces of crap if you want to go anywhere much over 500 to 1,000 miles. They're really only good as basically glorified golf carts if you want to drive around the central part of your state or go to different cities and towns. That's about it. If you try to take one on a cross-country trip, they're a nightmare. I have a personal friend that did that from Utah to Florida. In fact, the Wall Street Journal just put out an article the other day how they did a cross-country trip with one of their editors, and they basically said it was not what they thought it was going to be. As soon as you get out of any of these little trendy cities that don't have all these charging stations everywhere, it becomes next to impossible to find them, and all you do the entire trip is hunt charging stations down, and then some of these stations you got to sit there for 45 minutes to over an hour to try to even get partial battery charge so you can get back on the road to hunt for another charging station. This is how difficult it is and how hard it is on the grid already that they're saying is already going to start having blackouts in California and in other states when there's only a small, small percentage of the vehicles on the road are electric. If they actually tried to roll this out nationwide, 70, 80% of the vehicles on the road electric with actual charging stations to handle this, it would collapse the entire country. It would go into a chaotic blackout before it even got to that point. This has nothing to do with the economy as far as trying to produce green vehicles and reduce emissions. This is 100% about controlling people's ability to travel anywhere outside of their UN designated zones. That is what this is all about. Not to mention, the EV vehicles will be used as a very strategic tool to control dissent and control speech. You already see in China with their social credit score. They haven't talked about this in a lot of detail in a while. The social credit score you do is tied to everything, including when you go to charge your vehicle over there, including when you go to buy food over there, including if you try to finance something over there, including if you try to travel somewhere. If you say anything on social media the Chinese Communist government does not like, they immediately drop your credit score. If you hang out with somebody who says something the Communist Party doesn't like, they drop your credit score. If you do anything at any point in time on camera they don't like, they drop your credit score. Meaning they bar you and prevent you from being able to use a plane, use a train, do pretty much anything, including drive your electric car. That is where they're headed with this right now. That is why they're pushing the EV vehicles, and that is the sole purpose they're running the price up of oil right now, or the price up of oil at the pump, because oil at $120 a barrel should not be $7 a gallon for diesel right now. On top of that, you have a lot of these gas stations. Now, I have watched the numbers on this and the percentage averages, even including the taxes. A lot of the gas stations are starting to collude again. Some of these gas stations, especially in some of the rural liberal areas, they've intentionally colluded together and run the price up. Some of these places, from the numbers I was running the other day, some of these gas stations are making over $1 a gallon on fuel right now with their markups on it. Traditionally, most people know fuel is not the bread and butter of most gas stations. The convenience store is. It's the drinks, it's the beer, it's the canned food, it's the tobacco sales. That's where they make a large percentage of their money. The gas gas part, only in most cases, they'll make anywhere between 3 to 10 cents a gallon per gallon. That's about it at most. Now some of these gas stations are literally making millions of dollars a month because they're all colluding to keep raising the prices up because people are still paying for it. Americans are pretty resilient, and we're pretty much sick of not being able to travel. This was all done very strategically. Lock down the country, make people hate being stuck inside, force everybody to be under control by a completely tyrannical government. Then, once the economy starts booming back out again, short the fuel, run the prices up, say we have an alleged war on the other side of the country that doesn't even affect us at all, then go in and put sanctions and say, we're not going to buy oil from you. At the same time, you completely barred all drilling and fracking in the United States. But even at that, we still do not have a shortage of fuel in this country at all right now. And there's not a shortage globally at all. The alleged fossil fuels, in my opinion, from the research that I have found, the Earth continues to make it. The more research we keep digging into fossil fuels, they're not made by dinosaur skeletons melting down in the core. They're made by the Earth. The Earth is a living element. We don't even understand currently what's going on at the core still. It's all speculation. The furthest we've ever drilled down is Russia. It's like 6.5 miles. And everybody wants to talk about, well, this is here, this is that. It's all speculation and all theory. It's good and great. But we still don't even fully understand it, yet we still can't seem to run out of fossil fuel. Yet Al Gore back in the 90s was telling everybody by the 2000s, we were going to be completely and totally burnt to a crisp. We wouldn't have fuel and nothing was going to function because global warming was going to wipe out the whole world. Well, it's 2022 now and nothing ever came about of any of that. Yet we're still pushing the narrative over and over and over again. So you got to ask yourself the question. Why are they doing it and why? Why basically, what do they keep saying? They keep telling us we have to do this for the greater good and they're using this as an excuse now. People have to start getting the truth out there. The more people that wake up and start resisting, whether it's through civil disobedience, whether it's through not supporting current companies that are going against what you truly believe in, or if it's simply going out there and getting a podcast or sending articles or talking to other people or emailing people stuff, people have to start to come to grips that there's a massive war on freedom in the entire world, not just this country. These guys have an atavistic hatred towards freedom. They hate it. They absolutely have everything. When you have somebody that's got 500-700 feet yachts and 20 vacation mansions around the country, money doesn't appeal to them anymore. The only thing that appeals to them now is control and power. And that's where these individuals are at. We've seen it with the World Economic Forum, with Schwab talking about, we have to come in now and reset the country. We have to change the way people think. And we have to shape the future. No. We cannot continue to sit back and pretend like we're just going to allow this to happen freely. We have to put up a resistance, and the algorithms, the speeches, the talks, people standing up, people protesting, it all makes a concerted difference because when they start looking at things, and you've seen this as well as I do, when stuff starts coming about and you see algorithms and these things popping up, they realize there is not enough support for this topic and they back out of it. We've seen a lot of this with the whole monkeypox thing. They've been trying to promote it. And finally, everybody realized, dude, the only people that are really catching monkeypox for the most part are people that are involved in gay orgies over in Europe and a few of it spread over here. This isn't an issue. It was all fear porn to keep people distracted again to spend another $11 million on a smallpox vaccine buy order that Biden intentionally did. Well, he didn't. His administration did. He can't keep a sentence. So it is crucial right now. People keep their head up high. Stand up for what you believe. Like these five guys. That is makes a huge difference because you know why? It encourages other people to do the same that may be in positions that they're afraid to say something. They may be embarrassed. They may not want to have the scrutiny. The reason why we're here or where we are right now collectively is because too many Christian patriots have refused to stand up because they don't want to have any backlash. And a lot of the pastors are at the top of the list to blame who refuse to talk about this from the churches and continue to talk about, well, we have to, support Ukraine. We're going to take another donation for Ukraine. I'm like, bleh. The United States just gave them $40 billion of taxpayer-funded money that we had to borrow. You're talking about we're going to take a donation for Ukraine? You kidding me right now? Nothing's going to Ukraine. It's all going to the oligarchs and Zelensky over there so they can go buy vacation homes in Switzerland and all kinds of other countries. None of the money's going to Ukraine. Nothing's getting distributed over there. It's the third most corrupt country in the entire world, and we keep telling everybody we need to give them money when it's a complete and total theater war over there right now, guys. People have to wake up and start calling it out for what it is, Doug.
Amen to that. Ukraine, Steve Quayle was on yesterday and called it foolish Ukraine war. And the money goes, the money goes to the oligarchs. Really, there's no good people in this. And, you know, it's amazing to see. Boy, I can't keep up. You know, my avatar on social media, laugh. Okay, is a Ukraine flag. No. Now it's a rainbow flag. No. Okay, now whatever. But yeah, it's crazy. By the way, healthmasters.com, folks. If you got to go there right now, go there, healthmasters.com, and take advantage of HR5 as a coupon code. But make sure you stock up on excellent vitamin C, your multivitamins, you can go through and shop, but please do that. By the way, Purple Sticks, one of my favorite additives for water. I don't like the taste of water. It doesn't taste like anything. So I add Purple Sticks to it, and it makes me just have energy. Sometimes I take a straw and snort it off the rear end of a DeLorean, but that's just my own personal thought. But no, I'm seriously, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And the immune support system kit, I'll tell you what, the immune system support kit, thank you. That really does the job. And especially now with all of this stuff. And I don't have to worry about monkeypox too much, at least not the regular kind, because I don't engage in that kind of behavior. But nonetheless, but I'll tell you what, get yours today, because you don't know, maybe next week we might not be able to get it the way things are going. So healthmasters.com, the best supplements on the planet, in my view. And also while you're there, make sure you listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show Monday through Friday and Sunday as well. The information is on the top right of the website, healthmasters.com. You will be glad you did. All right, Austin Brower, as always on Fridays, my guest. Austin, you know, man, I'll tell you what. Again, triaging things. You know, here we have political prisoners in jail in D.C. We had the sham... sham thing last night on network television, where they had to bring in a producer. You got Matthew McConaughey talking about guns. I mean, that just makes my head hurt. Nancy Pelosi, of course, you know who she is, and her husband, by the way, got in a DUI accident. And I want to remind everyone that hey, you know what? The charges against him were dropped. The evidence was gone, expunged, lost, erased, whatever you want to call it. And but
imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. But also, think about this. You know, that DUI crash could have taken a child's life. 2,300 children were killed in the 10-year period between 2001 and 2010 in car crashes involving DUIs. Versus 173 kids and adults killed by AR-15s during that same time period. Just saying, okay. Also, wonder how many infanticides occurred during that same time period as well. The as you mentioned, you can't legislate morality, but certainly we can, in fact, become closer to the spiritual foundations of this country that were once maybe of this country, and become closer to God. But because, as I mentioned yesterday, or as the topic yesterday's program, we're out of time and we're running out of options as well. So with all of that, we have about a little over 10 minutes left. I want you to keep going on different things that are on your radar, because you do have your finger on the pulse of current events. Go ahead, sir.
I tried to. I just had right now where you were going over that. Ruben brought one of these into me. We finally got all of the organic food buckets back in stock. They're going out right now. We got a ton of orders that are going to be going out today. I know everybody's been waiting on those, and I have been adamantly pushing my guy to get those because they were short on a bunch of stuff. If you need them, grab them. If you already ordered them, they're on the way today. You got my word. They're going out today. Check your shipping tracking. It'll be updated by tonight. If you don't want to grab them, don't grab them. Get some, at least some organic beans and rice, organic canned foods from the store. Food's going nowhere but up right now. This is a big problem that, again, I talk about it all the time. And it's not because I want to beat a dead horse. It's the fact that I've seen so many times and I've heard so many stories about what happens, including from my own grandmother who went through World War II and the Weimar Republic in Germany, about what happens when you start having mass food shortages and the fighting and the rioting and the looting and the mass just chaos that ensues when people cannot get food. Remember, if there's a shortage, even if it's a short-term shortage, even if there's a power outage, even if there's a chaos that breaks out, the last place that you want to be is on the street trying to fight out of a Walmart parking lot to go inside and get food together. Because that is where all of the people that are unplanned, unprepared, and completely out of control are all going to be headed. You want to be able to set up a perimeter on your property, on your house, on your neighborhood, on your subdivision, whatever things you've put into place, which I hope you have, the people you've talked to in your area, your surrounding neighborhood, whether or not you got comms, whether you got certain ideas, whether you got certain at least concepts that you know would be a good idea to implement. That's what you do at that point. You don't worry about food because you don't have to worry about food and water because you already have those backup securities in place, in measure, ready to go, and you can handle them accordingly. That's the biggest thing people have to remember because that's the last place you want to get stuck is on the street fighting over food when everybody's running around chaotically. Not a good place to be. So I encourage everybody, if you need them, they're going to be back on the website here today, along with the meat buckets are also in stock. Grab them if you need them. We got plenty of them now. Hopefully we'll have them, keep them in stock. I've got more on order because they only sent me a small batch to fill everybody's order and a bunch, but we have more en route right now that are going to be coming in. So be sure to check it out on the website at Health Masters. And Doug, you know, you said something earlier about you were talking about the DUIs as far as with children deaths, and we see the infanticide and all these things that constantly murder and kill kids in topics. Most of those topics don't get brought up. They don't get brought up hardly at all in the mainstream media. They only get brought up if it serves their purpose. And the only one that usually serves their purpose is the firearms. So you got to ask yourself the question, what is the main reason they want to disarm everybody? And I told you before, because they know we are going to shoot them for what they're going to try to do to us next. They don't trust us with firearms, but yet we're supposed to trust them to have security out the ears, protecting them all the time with machine pistols and automatic weapons and M134 miniguns and armored SUVs and all kinds of other crazy stuff they have to protect presidents and congressional and Senate leaders. But yet a semi-automatic rifle is suddenly some massive threat to them because they're so concerned about the children. It's interesting to me because Bumbling Buffoon, who hasn't done a media outlet in like, what, 120 days, 110 days or something, he went on the Jimmy Kimmel show, pathetic late night failed show that is, and he went on there. I guess they pumped him full of enough Adderall and amphetamines, whatever, it's my speculation, to get him up so he could actually talk because he mumbled through about half of it, just started going. He hit his typical just side trail rabbit holes like he was going off to Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory. It was interesting. He was talking about it, and he brought up the comment that the United States is going to go into a mini revolution if Roe versus Wade is overturned. And it's exactly what I said before. A double-minded man is unstable. Why would you possibly listen to somebody that this is unstable? He literally was on national television using God's name in vain, saying, for, you know, for God's sake, how long are we going to allow our children to be killed with these weapons of war? We have to do something. We have to get them off the street. Then in the same couple weeks later, 2 weeks later, whatever it was, he's on Jimmy Kimmel. This is his quote last night. He wasn't on a teleprompter. This man was speaking under his amphetamine-induced stupor. He said, I don't think the country will stand for this, responding to the possible Roe versus Wade Supreme Court. He said, in fact, the decision comes down the way it does, if the decision comes down the way it does, and these states impose the limitations they're talking about, it's going to cause a mini revolution. Wait, whoa.
All right.
Could you elaborate there, Bumbling Buffoon? Because you just said mini revolution if we don't continue to allow children to be executed up until birth, and actually in New York, post-birth, they'll allow the baby to lay on the table and allow the mother to debate whether or not she wants to allow the baby to die. You can look that up in full-term abortions in New York. So that's totally cool, but we're going to have a mini revolution if anybody even questions or tries to overturn that. Yet law-abiding citizens that are non-felons that have never done anything illegal in their life that legally own firearms suddenly need to have all their firearms restricted and they need to turn them in because, well, we don't trust you to have guns. So again, which one is it? I'm confused here. We're doing it for the kids or we're doing it to kill the kids? I get lost in the sauce sometimes with these guys because they come up with so many nonsensical ideas.
I probably should ask you this earlier. With 120 guns for every 100 people in the United States, how would this this gun control look? I mean, what would this look like to you here in the remaining 5 minutes, 6 minutes we have? How is this going to look? I mean, what's this going to look like?
I mean, I've said this before because I've talked to a lot of the sheriff's guys that I know, especially in Polk County. A lot of the military guys I know, the easiest way they're going to use controlled as far as weapon confiscation is going to be through food, in my opinion. That's how they're always going to do it. They always use it through food, through supplies. You got to turn your firearms to get this. They're already doing it with gun buybacks. They're already doing it with Target gift cards and gas cards. They're already doing it with gas cards out in Texas, or not Texas, California, and a couple other states. You come in and bring in a firearm, they give you like a $100 gas card. They're already starting the early phase. It's the same thing, guys. If you look at what they did, remember what they did with the shots. The RNA gene therapy shots that we now know are unbelievably dangerous. They were never safe and they never worked in the clinical trials. We know this from the Pfizer leaks that came out with the FDA. What did they do when they first came out with the shot? Oh, it's for the elderly population first. We don't have enough shots for everybody. So the people that are old and the people that are basically highest risk, they get the shots first. Well, what does that do to everybody? It's a call to action. Everybody goes, oh, well, I want my shot. If he can get the shot and he's older, I want the shot. So then you get the lemmings that want to follow along. So they got the elderly that wanted to do it. They got the lemmings that followed along very voluntarily, easy to see through from a psych standpoint. So then what do they do? Then they came and said, okay, we're opening up now for all adults. If you want to get it, you have to get in line, come get the shot. We'll allow you to do it. Oh, we'll actually give you a cheeseburger. Oh, we'll give you free joints. Oh, we're going to give you a free gift card. Oh, we're going to give you a free gas card. They started incentivizing it. And they started telling people, okay. Then what they do next? Then they came in and said, well, we're not going to mandate it, but if you're in any type of government contract work or you're a healthcare worker, you have to get the shot. You have to get it, but that's all we're doing. Well, then all of a sudden you start getting some pushback. Healthcare workers, government workers, people start saying, I don't want to get the shot. I don't want to get this RNA gene therapy. There's big pushback. Well, then what they do? Then they stick another step. They said, oh, now we're weaponizing OSHA. Now, every single business in the entire country that has more than, what was it, 50 or 100 employees is now going to have to force their employees to get the shot, or they're either going to have to terminate them if they don't get the shot, or the company is going to be completely and totally fined into oblivion. Asinine, was it $5,000 per person or something, or $10,000? Just absurd amount of money. Well, then people went, oh, this is nuts. And there's big pushback, real big pushback. Then finally, the Supreme Court ruled is completely out of control. That's what we're going to do, same thing with firearms. They're going to keep pushing the lines. They're going to keep trying to pass bills. They're going to keep trying to people to turn in stuff. You're going to get people that are the lemmings. They're going to turn in their weapons when they tell them to. They're going to say, well, it's the law, guys. It's the law. They told us that we have to register our firearms. We have to turn in these magazines because it's for our safety. Remember, we had to get the RNA gene therapy shot and we had to be locked down, Doug, and we had to stop our business from operating because it was for our safety. It was for our safety. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to keep telling people that, and they're going to short the supply line. Prices are going to go up, and they're going to continue to incentivize people to keep giving up their firearms and keep getting free stuff further and further and further. That's how they're going to do it at the beginning phase. The next phase is they're going to start going after people basically when they're traveling, when they're driving, when they're doing things in basically really liberal states. Then if they have an event, that's when they're going to start basically trying to say, okay, now everything that you own is now deemed illegal. If you get caught with it, if you're in the shooting range with it, anything that we say is illegal, you need to have law enforcement called on you. You'll be detained immediately. That's how they're going to roll it down the line. That is why it's so important to be obsessively and obnoxiously boisterous right now, to dramatically overreact to any of these bills. Nothing else can continue to go. This only goes downhill. It doesn't get better. We saw it with the shots until we had so many people getting religious exemptions, getting attorneys, suing companies. And I helped people get in contact with attorneys I know to file lawsuits on companies because they were being suspended or terminated or put on administrative leave or indefinite leave because they wouldn't get the shot. That's how we have to start doing this. Absolute dramatic overreaction that we will not comply with any of this stuff. This is the same concept that I used before. Right now, we got a threat that's 1,000 yards out. We got a 338 Lapua, we got an M107A1 Barrett, and we're dealing with it. We allow this to keep creeping in, and we don't say anything, and we keep complying, and we keep wearing the mask, and we keep social distancing. We're going to be dealing with mandates. You can't do this, and you can't have a job, and you can't own a firearm right on top of us in the trenches, right where we were with the shots, if we don't keep pushing back right now and making it known that there will be zero compliance and that our senators will be held accountable if they continue to try to violate our rights, Doug. That's the best option we have right now before it gets really messy.
I totally agree with you, Austin Brower. I'm going to tell you what, time just flew by with you on. It's always a pleasure to have you. And I want to thank you for all you do, all your dad does, all your company does, healthmasters.com. Folks, make sure you go there right now if you haven't done so already, and make sure you stock up on your nutritional supplements, because now is the time. You don't want to wait until we're not sure we can get them anymore. Healthmasters.com. Austin Brower, thank you so very much, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Doug. You guys have a great weekend as well.
All right. Folks, that was Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Hey, he's got the fire in his belly, doesn't he? And the facts on the tip of his tongue and in his brain. That's really good stuff. Yes, we have to watch. Hit your knees tonight. When you hit your knees tonight, please pray. Ask God for guidance. And may God bless and protect each and every one of you. Have a great weekend. Have a great night.